Father, we praise you. Would you just help me for a moment and just give him all the glory and pray. Bless him and then bless me if you would. I praise you, Father. And give you all the praise and give you all the glory. Thank you for all these, Lord, who are here to hear your word, receive your word, and to walk in it. And we give you all the praise. Now receive grace and life. Thank you for coming, as you always do, with your miracle-working power. And for all those who received a touch outside of this room tonight and in this room, thank you, Father, and thank you, Holy Spirit, for glorifying your Son, our Savior and Lord, in Jesus' name. I receive your grace now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a wonderful crowd on Wednesday night. Thank you, Matt. Hallelujah. And I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, not a Merry Holiday. Hallelujah. Before it gets here, have a great one. Remember what it's all about. Thank you, Jesus. We had a great time Sunday, didn't we? You three guys are an inspiration up here. And Carl Ellie is back from school, and looking as good as ever. Hallelujah. He loves the Lord. Renee said, don't lie in the pulpit. Hallelujah. Just receiving that anointing, and I praise you for it, Father. Okay. All right. We're going to be just a little while, but we're going to go to two places. One is Psalms 144, and the other one is Philippians 3. But we're going to go to Philippians, and I said Philippians 3, it's Philippians 4, and Psalms 144. And we're going to be in the new first. We'll do the one for, we'll do the Philippians. Hallelujah. Friday night, a week from this Friday, will be New Year's Eve. And we'll have a New Year's Eve service that'll start at what time? Where's Kathy? I don't know. 9? Is that what time we normally start? We'll have a good time. We'll have communion in that service. We will trust the Lord for His tremendous ministry. And I'm going to ask several of you to be prepared to do some readings, to pray, to just pour your heart out in prayer. So be in prayer for that New Year's Eve service. And we'll worship and just allow the Holy Spirit to move. Hallelujah. I know we just prayed, but I feel like you have a special blessing for me. So why don't you stretch your faith this way? I believe you have even more to offer to God for asking God for His grace on me tonight. So why don't you pray that? Father, I receive their blessings. Lord, I receive their grace that you receive from them, faith. You receive faith. And then grace comes back to me. And I thank you, Lord, that as your under-shepherd, that I'm able to speak your words of life and peace. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you that they're praying in earnest. And I receive their earnest in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I want to read two places here tonight. As I said, Philippians, and then we're going to Psalms 144. And this afternoon, as I was praying and mostly in worship and then in tongues and then back and forth, but I felt like I didn't really have anything, and then one particular word came to me, and I didn't know where it was at. I had to look it up in the concordance, but once I got quiet, I could hear one particular word, and then I was able to look it up, and it's in Psalms 144, and we'll get there in a few moments. But this, in Philippians, I believe, is both scriptures that we're going to read tonight are in somewhat a parallel to each other. And let me say this before we ever begin. I really believe that this is a prophetic message for us, meaning it's timely, it's right now. I didn't have this planned. I haven't been meditating on this over this last week or so, but the Holy Spirit just kind of interrupted me today, this afternoon. And so I know that this is prophetic from the standpoint that it's a now thing. It's something that He wants to hear. This is not just a teaching per se that we need to put in our index of understanding, but this is something He wants us to listen and have that hearer's ear presently. So I'll begin in verse 1, and I'll tell you, as I said, I see so many similarities between this chapter and the new and where we'll read in the old in just a few minutes. And I hope you can pick out some for yourself. But Paul is writing here in verse 1 of chapter 4, and he says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy crowned, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Odias and Tychi, that they may be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellows, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." Everybody say rejoice, since Paul said so. "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing." Hallelujah. That's us in the days ahead. "But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving," couple it with thanksgiving, "let your requests be made known unto God. And as a result of that, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, we're going to need this in the days ahead, in persevering into revival. And what's going to be necessary for us more than ever before, but we have more grace than ever before because we're learning more grace, is to walk in verse 8. "Finally, after I've said all these things, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely, and of a good report, if there's any virtue in it, and if there's any praise, think on these things. And those things which you have both learned as a pattern," whatever you've seen in Paul, which he saw in Christ, and we see out of the Word, and we've seen a pattern that we've built through the grace of God these many years, "those things that you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me has flourished again, wherein you were careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere, in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need." And then, of course, that great statement Paul made through the Holy Spirit, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Hallelujah. Now there he said to rejoice in the Lord always, and he says rejoice. Now let's look at Psalms 144. Look what the psalmist wrote in verse 1, and we'll read the chapter. Hallelujah to God forevermore. "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to do what? To fight." Now, let me just pause right there for just a moment and say that we're in a war and we're in a fight. We know that. And it's going to only increase as the end comes. But we're in a war that we are going to win because He's already won, our Commander-in-Chief. And of course, when David is writing here, or whoever the psalmist is,
at the time when they were fighting whatever they were fighting, their disposition of writing it sometimes may have been against the giant, against the Goliath, against flesh and blood, but the Holy Spirit had far more intent on his heart, because he knew that there would be a generation of believers that would be on the other side of the cross, who would be baptized into the blood of Jesus Christ, and that their war would not be with flesh and blood, but would be against principalities and powers and rulers and spiritual wickedness in high or heavenly places. And so the things that we see them writing here about, we know this. They're not for us for today to believe that our fight is against flesh and blood, but against those very things that we've read oftentimes out of Ephesians. It's a spiritual warfare. The battleground is in the mind. The battleground is against the soul. Even the things that come at your flesh physically is to degrade you, is to try to degrade your spiritual walk. You'll never, those of you that are baptized over in His glory, you'll never get to the point now that you're ever questioning the reality, did He accomplish this? But the enemy at this point in time, to many of you, want to do whatever they possibly can in the arena of fighting the direction that you're going with full force into revival and changing your world and changing the world around you. And if it's not directly in the emotions, even if it's at the physical, then the spin-off of that is this, is that the enemy wants to take the fight in the physical and do everything he possibly can to question your ability to go into God, to receive everything that you need to be, and your walk of strength, your walk of integrity. In other words, he's an accuser of the brethren, isn't he? We found that out. And it's not just, he does that in many different ways, but the first person that he's going to accuse is you. He's going to accuse you of whatever he says that he believes to be your weakness. Well, guess what? He's not the one that we're listening to. He's not the one we need to believe God for this. If there's anything that you can confess about deafness, is that you begin to receive a deaf ear to the voice of the enemy. Your ear does not need, you have to have an acute ear listening to the word of the Lord and your commander in chief, but the lies of the enemy that would accuse you, and then ultimately try to find any accusation around you. You have to understand this, that Jesus has already paid the price. And here's where, now, you can see this in a number of different ways, and some of you may have a wonderful revelation on this. But as I see this here, to me today, when he says that he causes my hands to war, I'm not punching anybody. But I am doing, here's my hands warring. These are my hands warring. And I know really you can take this into a spiritual realm where the Spirit begins to, if you want to have a literal picture of this, these are my fingers fighting. This is my fingers fighting in the middle of the night, in the middle of the morning, when the enemy is accusing who I am. I said this is prophetic from the standpoint that last week, and I didn't even think about that I would even do this again, that I gave you a little, I felt like it was the Lord, obviously, or I wouldn't have mentioned it, because most of the time we don't mention some of the things that we fight. But I felt it necessary to say to you that there may be something coming around. And I wasn't talking about a flu or a virus, although that's out there in the air, but there's something also in the spiritual air. And it's attached itself to the emotional realm, and it tries to attach itself to ways that seem, it can even seem like God to start with. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to take the time necessary to continue to incubate or continue to hover over your spirit in prayer, you'll find that the Holy Spirit will begin to divide the different areas where God is speaking and where the enemy is trying to come in and to separate you from the life of God. Is everybody hearing me? Is everybody listening? I believe you are. He says this, He causes my hands to war and my fingers to fight. I can see myself as I'm turning these pages and finding the promises that causes me to get through the night of my life. He is my goodness and my fortress, my high tower. Hallelujah. Now this is where we have to begin to see Him continually. He's my goodness. I worship You, Father. You're my goodness. You're my fortress. I'm standing inside of You. My high tower means I'm up above, looking down on the enemy that is approaching. See, if I can see the enemy, I'm not going to get drawn into the complexity of what he's trying to bring me into. I can stand up. I don't mind a war. How many of you feel like this? You don't mind the war so bad. You just want to be separated from the war to where that you can see the distance between that's the enemy, this is God, I'm with God, we're fighting the... When the enemy can draw you into the war and you become a part of it and you're trying to fix things, that's when it gets rough. Hallelujah. He's my high tower, my deliverer, my shield. And He in whom I trust, He subdueth. He, David said, or the psalmist said, He subdueth my people under me. Now, I'm not a king. I'm not a ruler. You're not my servants. But let's just talk about the church for a moment, and then let's go to the family, and then let's go to the home. The mind of Christ is this, the shield and the buckler that He becomes for you against the days that we're living in and against the onslaught of the enemy is that the Holy Spirit has a mind. He has a direct mind to bring your family, not subservient under your lordship, but all of you cohesive in the mind of Christ, pulling together, not separated, all of us as a body pulling together, not separated. The enemy has a mind, but God has a mind. And as we cause our fingers and our hearts to war in the Holy Spirit keeps us in that mind. He keeps us in that mind. He keeps us walking down the same path. He keeps your home walking and pulling together, husband and wife, children together as we go into revival. Lord, He said, what is man that Thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that Thou mayest account of him? He said, it's amazing how much You love us, because man's like vanity, his days are as the shadow that passes away. Bow Thy heavens, O Lord. Now here's where there's a part of your life that the Holy Spirit wants you to enter into. It's an anointing that breaks the yoke. You don't have to do it with hysteria, but you have to realize that there is an anointing that has a sword with it. It has an absolute stalwart, case-hardened steel strength to it. It's not passive. And that it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It is the anointing that cuts bloodsuckers off in the spirit. Bloodsuckers are leeches. We don't know, except through the Holy Spirit, but this is very attainable. It's not far out there, we don't know what it is that comes to try to introduce to us the onslaught of division. Not just here, but division beginning in our own minds, in our own hearts, by distraction. Division in the home, division in the church. And even when it's managed well, even when it's under the blood, there is an onslaught continually against the individual going in, against the marriage going in, against the home going in, against the church. And until the Holy Spirit is able to come and bathe you, and you're able to see, that thought process was taking my strength. Was it coming from you, Lord? It was taking my strength. It was sucking something, life out of me. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying the Holy Spirit causes you to have the ability to be able to judge properly all thoughts, all emotions that are coming to you in this day and hour. And He says this about our God. God comes down and He casts forth lightnings. I love this. This is your Father. This is your Abba. He scatters them and He shoots out His arrows and destroys them. Hallelujah. Isn't that good, Reuben? He sends His hand from above. He rids me and delivers me out of great waters. And from the hand... Now watch this, because He mentions this a couple times, and the Holy Spirit began to quicken this to my spirit today. From the hand of strange children. And He'll mention strange children again in a moment. These strange children, of course, again, we're not fighting flesh and blood. These strange children have a mouth who speak vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. In other words, you can't believe what they're saying. I will sing of the Lord, or I will sing a new song. Remember what Paul said in Philippians? Rejoice. This is probably our biggest sword against the coming of the enemy, is to rejoice at all times. And again, I say rejoice. He said, I will sing a new song, O God, upon the psaltery and upon an instrument of 10 strings, and I will sing praises unto Thee. It is He that giveth salvation unto His kings. That's you and me, plural. Who delivereth David, His servant, from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speak vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. There's a spirit at loose in the earth. It's always been around. It's counted the days of every generation that has ever went into, affectionately called, revival for us, restoration, outpouring, preparation for great, great things of which to come. This spirit is a spirit of disorientation. It's a spirit of disorientation because it speaks with a right hand, but it is a hand of falsehood, and it is a strange. It is a strange. The enemy wants to disorient. He wants to disenfranchise you. He wants to take you away. He wants you to feel disoriented from the rest of the body and separated. I told Candy last week, and I won, but I'm just telling you the visitation. The enemy will come and he will try to, I'm not going to give him too much credit here, he will try to make you feel like you're not your normal self. Like I am, you're walking the walk, but he wants to take you, as David said, out of the land of the living. Now, how many are still here with me? This is the, when the enemy tries to surround you and tries to take you from, see, David said this, when Saul said, use this armor. He said, I can't use it. I haven't proven it. No matter how much peace you walk in, that's not my peace. My peace is the way that I hear Him. He's the same God of peace. But when He speaks to Bronk Flint, and when He speaks and when I meditate His mercies and I praise Him, His grace and His glory comes on me, it is familiar ground to me. It is my familiar normal place. It is my normal place. Out of normalcy, or out of that normal place, God calls us to go into His glory and elevates us higher and higher from one level of glory to the next level of glory. The enemy, in the strangeness as he mentions here, and the strange children, the enemy's plan is at times in your life, if you do not recognize it, to come in and try to cut you off. And when I say what he was trying to do with me, it wasn't anything against anyone. It was just that my normal place of peace was my normal place of anointing. He had come in those few days to try to stand down and try to build a bulwark around my emotions. Now, I'm describing a place in the Spirit that many of you face, but you may not even know. I'm describing a place in the Spirit where the enemy in the days ahead would love to bring a subtle kind of disenfranchising or a subtle kind of disorientation to where that the body as a single unit, whether it is agreeing on every facet of everything that it sees in Christ, it still has that spirit that says, at all cost, I will learn what 1 Corinthians 13 says. I don't throw out what God is showing me about Himself, but the greatest thing about love, one of the greatest things about love is this. One part of that 13th chapter of love is this. It actually says that you believe the very best about people. Well, Pastor, I look at them. It's obvious to you, isn't it? Can't you see? There's a supernatural believing the best. Believing the best. This is good stuff. And we have to attain to it. But there's a spirit, there's a strange spirit. See, I live my whole life, and I give all the glory to God in peace. Now, it's challenged often, like yours. But my normal place of living and breathing is in peace. These spirits come to see if they can gradually disorient you to begin to believe something. And the first thing they'll do is they'll try to make you believe something about yourself. If they can't get you to believe something about yourself, they'll make you try to believe something about somebody else. And they'll go down the list. And what I was saying last week is, if there's a folly in our midst, and if the enemy is the folly, of course, don't receive him. Don't receive him at any cost. Judge everything. Judge the strange children. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children whose mouths speak vanity, and their right hand is the right hand of falsehood. And this is down in just a moment is where the Holy Spirit cued me in. I didn't even know where this was at. In verse 12 it says that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. Now, here he's going to begin to describe the church and the home and the marriage and life as the Holy Spirit wants it. He said prior to this, there is a strange children, that is devils, who deal with a false accusations, false. Their hand is it's not a right hand of fellowship. It is a right hand of falsehood. The right hand speaks normally of something that is just. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. their right hand is not just. Their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. And the enemy will do everything he can to make you believe something, a lie about your wife, your husband, your children. Listen, even when you can verify it, wait to see what Jesus says about it, so that you're seeing it through His eyes and not your eyes. Even when you can verify it and you know that it's a fact, listen and wait for the truth. Because a fact and a truth are two separate things. And the enemy will tell you this is a right hand of truth. It is a right hand of falsehood. And it cannot be believed until it's verified by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. This is what He wants among us as us going into the family prayer center, going into revival, getting ready for our King to come back and to receive Him into the earth. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. Grown up in their youth. In other words, even when they're young, they're making righteous decisions. They're making good decisions. That's a blessed thing of fathers and mothers to see their kids grown up in their youth. Hallelujah. That our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished. I love this. Polished after the similitude of a palace. I mean, look at this girl. Isn't she beautiful in spirit and in truth? Hallelujah. But this is only symbolic of the order of what the Holy Spirit wants to flow through our homes, through our marriages, as us as individual, if you're a person of one in the home. Polish after the similitude of a palace. Here we go in our blessedness, our prosperity, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store. Hallelujah. The family prayer center is not broke. Neither is anybody in it. We have the best jobs. Hallelujah. God favors us and wakes people up in the middle of the night and says, give them a job and give them the best job. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Our sheep, that may they bring forth thousands and tens of thousands in our streets. Hallelujah. You see all those little ones being born again. That our oxen may be strong to labor. Hallelujah. No weakness among us. This is the part that I heard, and I knew this scripture, but I didn't know where it was at. No breaking in. And I said, where's breaking in? I got to look this up. And this led me to this chapter. That there be no breaking in. See, this is the stability of the home. This is the stability of the church. That there's no breaking in. The enemy doesn't breach our barriers. He doesn't breach into a place. That there's no going out. That there's no, you know. This is where I knew that it was a prophetic and it was strength unto you. Let me advise you, never take these kinds of admonitions in fear, but in great strength. If I tell you there's a rattlesnake, there's a 6-foot diamondback, and he's very alive over here in the corner. Now, I'm not a serpentarian kind of person. What I love to do with them is take a shotgun and blow their heads off. Or run over them. Or do anything to them. But if I know he's here, then I can stay clear of him, or I can kill him. I can destroy him. When we understand things in the Spirit, this is where I started to say I knew that the Holy Spirit was working, because I had received this download of this chapter, and then I thought, I'll call Dave for Christmas. I'll say hi. And I haven't talked to him since the conference, so it's been that long. And he said to say hi to everybody. So Dave says hi, and he loves you. Okay, so. But I said at the end of our conversation, I was about to get off, and we'd already said goodbye, but I knew I should keep talking. And I said, somebody said that there was something that come out on the prayer center, like they have an intercessory kind of thing, and candies on that and some others. And somebody said there was something kind of warning. And I said, have you given any kind of warning or anything in the last few months or that we were supposed to pray about during this season? Because I thought it had something to do with Christmas and maybe terrorism or stuff like that. He goes, yeah, okay, yeah. He said, do you remember the time? And I knew immediately what I was talking about. He said, do you remember the time where he called a ruler of darkness, showed up at my church? And I said, yeah. Now, Dave described it as a ruler of darkness. He said, this thing come in, and he was headed to his office. A lot of you have been to the prayer center. You know his office is in the back, and he, of course, preaches from the front and goes to the back. And said he was walking away, and it had been a horrible service to preach. And he said that he looked over, and I know where the exit sign is on the far left-hand, upper left-hand corner. He said he saw a person standing there, and he did not realize at the moment that he was in the Spirit, because he was seeing everybody like you are. But he saw this figure, and he couldn't see its face, but it was in a Tibetan monk robe. And it had its head down, and he said he could tell that it was like, he could see a large forehead, but its head was facing down. When he saw that, he said he realized in the Spirit, you know, that is, well, first of all, he thought, that is strange. Who is that, and what is he doing? Then he was like, it took him a minute or two, because he's halfway back, he realized, I'm in the Spirit, but that thing can't see me. Then when he kind of come to himself a little bit, he looked, and there was like I don't know for sure, I'm just going to say some things, some numbers. There was like a dozen or more of these little kind of creatures. Now, the other thing was like a ruler that was in a human form. But these other kind of deals were, well, you'd call them imps. And they clamored, you know, they just had, and they would run up. And he looked and he was watching. They run up to people and they would scream something. They would yell something. And then they just run off. And then they run up to somebody else, run up to them. And so I don't know how he handled that part. I can't remember. He walked out. He walked back in his office. And he said somebody come up to him and said, Pastor, that was a great service tonight. And he goes, man, he said, I wanted to slap them because I thought they were lying. You know, that's the worst I've ever done. He said the thing just shut everything down. Just shut. You know, and he didn't know how then. This has been years ago. We've had some of those visitations. We normally just try to just worship through them. That's the best thing to do, you know. And we always win. We always win. But the amazing part was there was about 18 people, 12 to 18, that got up that night, and they were all in the front two rows, and they all knew each other, and I guess they kind of hung out or something. And they walked out in the parking lot. And Dave, this part I forgot to tell you, is that he said when they would run up to people in the congregation, that they were saying something. And he said what they were saying, they all said the same thing. Every one of these little guys said the same thing. They said, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong with this message. There's something wrong here. So people followed them out in the parking lot. They weren't trying to follow them out. They just walked out in the parking lot. And when they walked out in the parking lot, would you believe that they could hear those people talking? Now, all 18 of those people, or however many there was, I'm not sure, they left the church and they never came back. They just quit. That was their final night. But what people could hear them saying was, there is something wrong with this message. There's something wrong here. You know, there's just something right. And Dave said that was the very same thing that he heard them repeating. They were just mimicking. Now, he reminded me that, and I told you that, and you've, many of you heard that story many times before. Excuse me, I'm sorry. He said, yeah, this was the warning. I said, okay, what is it? He goes, you ready for it? I said, yes, sir. Yeah, I had to ask you, so, you know. He said, that, as far as he knew, was classified as a ruler. But he said, where we're at in the ongoing into revival now is that it has stepped up to a classification of power and principalities. And that these, now this is heavy, I know, but remember the rattlesnake, if you know he's there, you don't have to worry about him, okay? You just go past him. And I'd rather know that he was in the room or was trying to come. He said, these that were coming now had the capacity to destroy lifelong friendships and marriages. So, that was the warning. That doesn't mean that it's going to happen. It's not for you to take heed. It's for you to listen and say, okay, Father, we know those scumbags are out there in Jesus' name. And we know that they have a strange right hand. But Father, we're going to judge as we go into revival everything that comes at us. We're going to judge every emotion that comes to us. We're going to allow your Holy Spirit to guide us. Listen, those kinds of warnings and what I heard, and I didn't know Dave was going to say what he said, but it went right along with it. And I said, man, God, I know that's exactly what you were telling me tonight, that we're judging strange things that come to us in the days ahead. And you know what? People, please listen to this. If you go out of here feeling heavy, if you go out of here feeling like, wow, that was... Listen, these kind of admonitions prepare you to win. They prepare you to win. Because you can see from a long ways off, he's your high tower. If you hear these things and you say, okay, I know that he's out there, and I know as much as me and this woman are in love, that I just don't, I should never take it for granted. For the next 50 years, I've got to continue to pray, court her, respect her, hold her up in every possible way of integrity. If I do that and follow Jesus, I will always win. Hallelujah. If I scoff his word and say, this is not for me, those kinds of things only happen to people that are out there. They're out there. Scoffing will only lead you to a place. It never happens overnight either. It never happens overnight. It takes years to develop a consciousness where Satan can weave his way in to destroy friendships and destroy marriages. But listen, if we're looking from a high tower, boy, are we safe. Hallelujah. We are safe. He is our high tower. We are safe. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. All the glory to God. Father, we love you tonight. You are so precious. And we rejoice in the Lord, and again, we do rejoice. We let our moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. You're coming back. You're coming back for a people that are able to judge and to be able to judge rightfully. And we love you so much. We cherish you. We cherish each other. We cherish the church down the street. We cherish our brethren, Lord, that are in Christ all over the world. We thank you for the life that you've given us in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're just going to rejoice in the Lord for a few moments. I'm going to ask Marcia to put the baskets up here. If you have something tonight that you'd like to give, we would appreciate it. The church can be blessed by it. Also, I did not communicate with Homer this year. We normally try to help them do something for any of the teenagers that really, really have need. The church needs an offering, but it's going to be fine. But if the Holy Spirit speaks to you and tells you to divide part of it, that's fine. Or even to see Homer. I know Christmas is like 2 days away, 3 days away, but if the Holy Spirit speaks to you, I'm not saying if I speak to you, you may see Him or call them and find out if there's any immediate needs. The rest, aren't we blessed? We are so blessed. Hallelujah. We are so blessed. Father, I just love You. And I give You glory. And I just speak a special blessing over every man and woman, boy and girl in this place tonight. Father, no matter what we have during this holiday season, what we do have is the blessed hope of Christ in us. And then we have family. And I'm not talking about, as you well know, Father, but I'm saying for their benefit. I'm not talking about flesh and blood family, although they're part of it. But my family is in front of me tonight. My family is those that walk in the kingdom of God. And I thank You and I praise You. And I give You all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have anything and you'd like to give it before you leave tonight, it would be fine. Hallelujah. And as I said, if you want to call Homer or Rosie tomorrow or see them tonight, hallelujah. Or even designate, that would be fine. Hallelujah. You're blessed. How many of you feel blessed? How many of you feel edified? Amen. Praise God. So I release you into the Lord and have a Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Be blessed.